song. Go in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Proverbs here tonight. And we are going to continue on in our study from this morning. But Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to read another text to you. And we're going to kind of look at that a little bit, just like we did this morning. We mentioned several verses of Scripture. But we're going to mention another one, kind of look at it a little bit in just a little while once we get there. And kind of lay a little bit more of a review and a foundation. But Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. We are still preaching on knowing and doing the will of God. Knowing and doing the will of God. Quick review. This morning we talked about how we are to desire the will of God. How important it is that before you can do the will of God, you got to have a desire to do it. You got to will to do the will of God. We talked about that here this morning. We looked also at this idea of we went into our second point of that we've got to discern the will of God. And we only went one step into that second point. We talked about what I mentioned this morning as the surrender principle. That before you can ever do the will of God, you have got to surrender yourself to Him and His cause and His will. And so that's what we got this morning. And tonight, we're going to pick up where we left off from this morning. But I do want to read a text as something that's just going to kind of be a launching text into our message here tonight. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. You could probably quote this. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Amen. I'm going to read that last verse again. "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Amen. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your precious Spirit here tonight. And we ask You, Lord, that in the service You would have Your way, that You would touch us, God, You would help us. I know this morning I felt the unction of the Holy Ghost while teaching this, God, and working through this. And I know You'll meet with us again here tonight, dear Lord. We must be men and women who desire to do the will of God. But God, before we can do that, we've got to discern what the will of God is. And Lord, I know there are some practical principles in the Bible that You have given us that everybody in this room can live by. And I would, in the name of Jesus, that You would help us. You would be with us for this next few moments. In the name of Jesus, we love You and we thank You. And everybody said, amen. When it comes to the subject again of God's will, in the subject of another phrase I would use is divine guidance, we must understand that divine guidance cannot be separated from a personal relationship with God. You must have a working, and I would even say not only a working, but an intimate relationship with God in order to fully do His will in your life. A very simple, I read this the other day, it was so simple that I said I just might as well say it. You know, it's a very simple definition. What is God's will? It's God's purpose for your life. You know, many people in this world often talk about, you know, I'm looking for my purpose. Why am I here? You know, they look at life and they look at the brevity of life. They look how short it is, and they look of how life just continues on. And they would say, as they look at the events of life and their parents and their life, and they say, "Why am I here? Is all of this just some giant cosmic accident, or does God have a plan for my life?" Well, if you don't believe there is a God, you're not going to believe that God has a plan for your life. And if you don't believe that God is involved in your life, you're not going to believe that God is going to help you to discern the will of God. So many desire the gift of maybe God's guidance, but sometimes they do not desire the giver as they should. If we long for guidance, we first must have a thirst for God Himself. That ought to be intrinsic in every one of us, that I desire God. I want to know Him. I want to obey obey Him. I want to please Him. I want to draw close to Him, because in our efforts of drawing close to God, I believe sometimes it's in that very effort of seeking His face and wanting Him to be pleased with you, I believe it's in that very effort that we can obtain the guidance that God has for our life. Again, I know every one of us in this room, probably, I know we may wake up and have a devotional time, but again, we don't pray. I mentioned it this morning. You don't pray about which shoe to put on first and exactly, you know, how to make your coffee. You know, we are left. We're free moral agents. We get to make choices all the time. But we know ultimately in our lives, we must choose to serve God and live in a way that is pleasing to Him. I've mentioned it this morning, and no doubt I will continue to mention it throughout this lesson, that number one, we know that God has spoken to us by His Word. And I could take that a step further, that God has spoken to us by His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are to live according to His Word, and we also are to live in accordance to the will of God through Jesus Christ, His Son. A person must be, again, in fellowship with God in order to experience His guidance in their life. This implies, first of all, that he or she should have come into this vital relationship with Christ. Again, you must be born again. You must be regenerated even to see the kingdom of God. But can I also precaution you that being saved alone is not enough just to do His will? Look, that we believe in justification by faith, and that the Lord does forgive when we turn from our sins and we put our faith in Him and all of these things. But once you are saved, as I mentioned this morning, we are not saved to do our own will. I must do it. You must do it. God, what must I do in order to please you? What do you have designed for my life? Now, I was kind of reading some different verses that were talking about the will of God. And as I read to you in our text a moment ago, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I was reading over this and kind of thinking, Lord, this is such a simple, I could quote that, and many of you could quote that, about how we are to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. But I thought it really captures the essence of the beginning of the message this morning and continuing in here tonight. In order to seek the will of God or know the will of God, number one, you've got to have faith that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I have got to, like that verse says in verse 5, I've got to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. With all everything that's within me, God, I trust you, Lord. And we heard it tonight, testimony after testimony about God's trustworthiness and His faithfulness. How many knows God is trustworthy? Amen. He never fails. He is always trustworthy. And I can tell you there is no safer place for you to invest your life than in the will of God. That is the best place to be. That is the happiest place to be. That is the safest place to be. But not only must we have faith in Him, we also have to have a certain level of distrust in our feelings and our own selves. Now listen to this, because this is so important. Not only are we to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, we are to lean not on our own understanding. How many knows that your understanding comes short? Many times we are governed by what we feel and what we see and what we can understand. But I'm telling you right now, when it comes to the things of God, I know that I am to seek God's face. I am to study His Word. I am to understand Him there. But it doesn't always make sense to the natural man when God wants us to do certain things. There's a certain level to where my understanding comes short. So I am to trust in God, but I am to have a certain level of distrust in my own understanding. Again, we know that the Apostle Paul was a very intellectual man, and we live in a society where we have a lot of intellectuals, if you would. I mean, there's knowledge everywhere. You can read, you can download, there's ebooks, there's media, there's YouTube. You can learn to do just about anything. Hey, man, I'm not saying I could do it, but I probably can go on YouTube and learn how to take apart the engine of that minivan out there. Not saying I'm going to do it, because I'd probably lose the parts or my kids would take them. But I'll tell you this, you can understand or seek to understand things in this life. You can look for information. But even the Apostle Paul, who was an intellectual, intellectual, if you would, a very, very smart man had to get to a place that he didn't trust his own knowledge and understanding, but he looked at all of that and he said, you know what? I have not come to you with my own ability or my own cleverness. I've come to you with the foolishness of God, which seems crazy to this world. But we are to know this, that God's ways are not my ways. His ways are higher than my ways, and his ways are higher than your ways. Not only that, but notice this, we are to be obedient in every area. I've already mentioned that some today, and I don't mean to sound so redundant, but again, it hit me again today reading this verse. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. You ever been in a season of a pending season in life? You know, you just don't know the next step. What are you to do then? Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. I am a firm believer in life that if I am doing everything, and God help me to do this, and God help you to do it, that if I am doing everything I can to live by this book and seek his face and be obedient to him, even in seasons I don't understand, and even in when timing and all those things don't make sense to me, I realize this, that if I acknowledge the ways, if I acknowledge him, I know this, that God is going to direct my paths. I have an obligation to acknowledge him in all my ways, every single day, on the job, here in the church, as a pastor, whatever we could fit into that narrative, you and I are to acknowledge him, and in our process of doing that, he is going to direct our paths. So we mentioned this morning about the surrender principle, and I'll briefly mention this because I've said it so much already, about the scripture principle. How can we acknowledge him in all our ways, Brother Derek? How we know we are to, number one, acknowledge him in all your ways by knowing the word of God. I have found something in my life of studying scripture. And I know I've shared things with you before, but when I first got called to preach, I mean, it happened so fast. And again, I probably got asked quicker than I should have. And, you know, I went up there and preached, and I realized, I said, Lord, I know you died on the cross, so I'm going to start right there. And I preached about Jesus dying on the cross. And then they put me in a Sunday school class. They were very desperate, obviously. And I remember coming to the word Esau. I thought it was Esau. You know, I didn't know. I mean, again, I don't remember paying attention in high school, middle school, elementary school, but obviously I didn't pay attention in Sunday school. And I didn't listen. I said, okay, that's Esau. And then later on, somebody laughed. It's bad when you're teaching a class and the kids are laughing at you. Yeah. But what I'm saying is this, is that I didn't understand everything. I was a lot of complexities in my mind at that time, but I learned this. The more I know about the will of God, and as I consistently seek to acknowledge him, and I begin to live the scriptures and study the scriptures, there came this sense of fulfillment in my life that I knew I was doing what God wanted me to do at that moment. Look, I can't speak for next year or years up the road or even months up the road, but I can speak to this. When I live today and when I live tomorrow, I'm to wake up glorifying God. I'm to wake up living the Word of God. I'm to wake up fulfilling the responsibilities that God has given me as according to the Word of God. How many people in this world get out of the will of God by simply disobeying the Word of God? Boy, it starts right there. Do you know how many times... I could count probably, but I'm not going to do that. That you come across a situation in somebody's life that they got out of the will of God simply because they disobeyed God's word. That marriage got out of the will of God because there was disobedience to the word. There's parents and the children got out of the will of God because they disobeyed God's word. I could go on and on and on. Number one, again, live the scriptures. Many people today are floundering around because they don't know God's word. But the Bible tells us that God's word is a light. It is a lamp to our feet, to our path. And if we are going to walk today and we're going to walk tomorrow, wake up walking and living in the word of God. And I assure you, if you continually do that, you're going to be all right. You're going to make it to heaven. Because people may wonder, Brother Derek, you're talking about doing the will of God. What if I miss it? What if I get out of his will? But I assure you once again, if every day of your life you acknowledge him in all your ways, you will be directed in your paths. Thank God for that. Amen. I don't have time to do it here tonight. But there's an exercise that you can do in your Bible study. When you look at Psalms 119, how many knows that's a study or a trustees to the Word of God? Read Psalms 119 and see how much it talks about your daily living and how the Word of God is to be a part of your everyday life, your steps, your thoughts, His laws, His precepts. And again, it lets us know that the will of God and the Word of God and us fulfilling the will of God is tied to us having a knowledge and an understanding of the Word of God. But let me just move forward from that, because again, some of that's already been highlighted this morning in a little bit more here tonight. But what about those situations, Brother Derek, again, to where it's not in the Bible necessarily? It's kind of one of those things that you're seeking a move, or you're seeking to know or understand something that is unique. It's not black and white. You're praying, you know, where, who to marry if you would if you're younger, or where to work at if you would, or which church to attend, or what region of the world to live in. What are you supposed to do? Nobody can tell you. You don't see a verse for it necessarily. How can we be guided in that? Yes, I know I'm to yield and surrender, Brother Derek. Yes, I know I'm to live the Word of God. But is there any other advice that you can give me according to the Scriptures? Yes. How many is glad to know that when Jesus left this world, He didn't leave us without a comforter? Amen. Weren't those disciples a little bit kind of perplexed about that? They're in that upper room and Jesus, I mean, He's been trying to prepare them for this moment in time. He basically lets them know, hey, I'm going away. You know, and they're kind of wanting to know, where are you going? We want to come with you. You can't come with me. And they're fearful and they're worried. Why? Because they are accommodated to having Jesus in the flesh be there to direct their steps every day. You know, I believe Jesus had a time they got up. I believe they had a time they settled down. I believe they had times. We're going to go this way. We're going to go that way. Wouldn't it be nice to have Jesus in the flesh? And when you woke up tomorrow, He'd be, all right, wake up, Brother Derek. Let's go this way. I'd be like, yes, let's go. I feel like I'd get something done spiritually. Or, you know, I have a little bit of questions. I could go knock on His door. Jesus, what did you mean when you said that? Could you talk to us a little bit? These disciples are about to lose this unique connection of Jesus Christ being with them for 3.5 years. He's about to leave. And man, they're like, where are you going? What are we going to do? But He lets them know, and thankfully He did. He tells them, look, it's expedient for you that I go away. He said, for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. He says, yes, I am leaving, but there is another one coming. There is a paraclete. There is one that's going to walk beside you. He is the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, the Old Testament was a little unique finding direction, right? The Urim and Thummim, if you pronounce that right, I've heard it said 50 different ways. You know, they would throw those stones or reach in that bag, yes or no. Boy, wouldn't that be unique to just get a, I wish I had them things. I wish I knew where they were. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to do this? Yes. All right. No. All right. No problem. But in the New Testament, it's different. And we know that with the prophets, there was a unique dealing. And then with Jesus, but Jesus goes away. Now, when you get born again, if you are truly born again, the Spirit of God takes up residence in your life. Hey, man, isn't that good? Because some of you are saying, well, I want something a little better than that. You can't get no better than that. I want to be able to just put it all on the pastor. Look, I can only help you but so much. You know, some of these faithful men and women in this room, you can go and talk to them. We'll talk about that later. I encourage you to seek counsel. But there's many times that somebody will come to me with a unique situation and I'll say, look, I know you've heard this before, but you need to pray and fast. How many know some people are like, really? I know that. Well, there you go. I've had somebody recently come to me, not going to this church, with a unique situation, and I had no counsel other than this. Spend some time in prayer. And then I have people, you know, you have folks come to you like this. I feel like, I know this is God's will. What do you think? Well, it doesn't matter what I think. What do you want to hear from me? Well, praise the Lord. Now, obviously, if they're going to do something sinful, I'm like, I know for a fact that's not God's will. When somebody comes to that office and this has happened in the past and they say, I know this is God's will, but I want to know what you think about it. I say, well, I ain't got nothing to say. Have a good life. God's good. And we're praying for you. Because once you ascribe to that, there's no higher level of opinion, right? It's no higher counsel. But look, this is what we must understand is that God, through the Holy Spirit who lives inside us, will guide us and help us to know what the will of God is for our lives. Now look, I know we cannot always put out some extraordinary encounters that we read about in the Bible, right? You have like the angel who spoke to Philip in Acts 8:26. You have Ananias, who was told by the Lord in a vision to go meet Saul. You had Peter, who saw a vision which God revealed that he was to take the gospel to the heathen in Acts 10. You had Paul, who saw a vision directing him to go to Macedonia in Acts 16. We also see at different times a certain level of directions and visions and intervention. And somebody would say, Brother Derek, can God still do that today? And I would say, sure he can. He's God. I'm going to tell you right now, I've been saved 14 years and I've yet to see an angel. Now, I don't know, maybe you've seen one. Tell me about it later. I've yet to have a vision to the level where it was so. Now, again, God can use those, but is that the predominant way in which God speaks? No. God often is going to lead you by the inner witness of the Holy Ghost. He's going to speak to you by His Spirit. Again, some of those other things can happen. And again, if somebody comes to you and says this, an angel, try it, judge it, pray about it. And if you disagree with it sometimes, that's their subjective experience. Allow it to be what it is. But as far as the main way that God's going to lead and guide you, He's going to lead you through His Word. And He's going to lead you through the inner witness of the Holy Ghost. Romans 8:14 says, as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit of God will be faithful to lead you. He's going to lead you into holiness. He's going to lead you into Bible reading. He's going to lead you into prayer. He's going to lead you to a Bible-believing church. But He's also going to lead you to do the will of God. And again, this is the Holy Ghost being what one writer says is as a silent shepherd working inside of you, as an advocate, as a paraclete, as one, as it would say in John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. He lets us know, again, the Spirit of God is the one that is going to lead and guide us in this dispensation. Amen? I mean, I know sometimes you don't fully know how to pray about the will of God in your life. Has anybody ever been there? You got down to pray, and man, you're wrestling. And again, I don't know how it is for you sometimes, but sometimes sometimes there's so much going on. And Lord, I need direction in this storm. I need direction and through these series of events. Lord, I need another step. I need some hint. And I find myself in an altar of prayer. And again, I don't know how to put it all into words. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen a couple months up the road. But I know this, that the Spirit of God tells us, the Bible tells us in Romans 8:26, that the Spirit of God, we know that He maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. There's times that inner witness of the Spirit is working the will of God out in your life. You may feel a sense of direction. You may feel a sense of encouragement. You may feel a sense of fulfillment as the Spirit of God is making intercession for you. And there He's helping to lead and guide you. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us that we can pray in the Spirit. That's Ephesians 6:18. It lets us know we can pray in the Spirit and know this, that the Spirit of God is faithful to lead and to guide us. Now, listen to this verse in Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How many likes that verse? Don't be unwise. But notice what it says in verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let me stop right here for a moment and preach a Pentecostal point to you. It's one thing to be born again and have the Spirit of God to take up residence in your life. But it's another thing to be filled with the Spirit. Separate the two. You said, Brother Derek, I don't know about that. Well, the Baptist church across the road might agree with you. But here we don't. It's one thing to be saved where the Spirit of God takes up residence in you, but it's another thing to be full of the Holy Ghost where He is leading and guiding you and helping you to understand what the knowledge of the will of God is. I will never dumb it down because I've experienced life on both sides of it. I remember earlier on when I first got saved before I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I can tell you on the other side of it, there's a stark contrast of something working in your life and in your heart and in your soul and in your mind, helping lead you and guide you into the fullness of God's will. Right? I could even put it this simply. I know for a fact some things about the will of God in your life. Number one, I know He wants you to be saved. Number two, I know He wants you to live holy and live by His word and live pleasing unto Him. Number three, I know He wants you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I know it. So this is how it was taught to me, and I'll just teach it to you because I still believe it's a true principle. You want to do the will of God? Get full of the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, before you try to go to the mission field, won't you stop right there? Matter of fact, before, and this is the way I was raised, and I still believe it today, before you try to preach the gospel, stop right there. Get full of the Holy Ghost and know that the Holy Ghost is going to be intrinsic or be a valuable part of you living out the fullness of God's will in your life. We used to say it like this years ago, and we need to bring it back. Some folks are just more spiritual than others. You say, Brother Derek, are you dividing the church into categories? Well, God's Word does. You got those who are not saved. You got those who are saved and carnal. And you got those who are spiritual. And I don't know how anybody could do it. And again, maybe you can inform me otherwise, how you can be spiritual and not desire the fullness of the Spirit. Right? How can you be spiritual as you should be? Again, what is the difference of men and women who have stood out, stood hidden shoulders, if you would, in the things of God, who have given all for the cause of Christ, who have been able to go out and see the Great Commission fulfilled, see miracles and people healed and demons cast out, and God open up their way, they walk in simple obedience to Him, and those who do not. And all I can say is this, there are some who are saved and is going to be led of the Spirit in His fullness as they should be, and there's going to be some who leave this world that was not. And again, I know there's gifts and I know there's a judgment of believers in the end. How all that's going to play out, you need to pray about that. But I don't know about you. When I get before the judgment seat of Christ, I hope I can stand there and say, Lord, I've made the most of what You gave me. I've made the most of what You gave me. And can I talk to you if you say, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Are you still full of the Spirit? Are you still full of the Spirit? Is it coming out of you to do the will of God? Is it flowing out of you like a river and like a fountain? And again, I've been in this long enough to know the season of my life. What I need to do is go pray through and have a fresh feeling, not an initial feeling. I know there's the initial baptism in the Holy Ghost, but there's times you leave the prayer closet. There's times you leave a season of fasting and you're full of the Holy Ghost and you know it. And it shows up in your preaching and it shows up in your testimony and it shows up in your prayer life and it shows up on the job. Why? Because you pray through, you stayed full. And again, Lord, help us in these last days. If we're going to see a Pentecostal message preserved and perpetuated, it's going to be when the saints of God once again stay full of the Holy Ghost and stay in the center of God's will. Amen. So we look at this and we must understand this is a critical part of it. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, then Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was an example. 40 days fasting. Boy, that's a miracle, right? And then the devil himself's going to show up. Three temptations. Christ is going to defeat him with the word. Leave, devil. The devil leaves. And guess what the Bible says? He returned from the wilderness full of the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God help me. I hope you're hearing this preacher here tonight. Look, I'm not God. I don't know how it all balances out all the time. All I know to do is commit my ways unto Him. But yes, there's seasons. God's going to lead you in the Spirit into seasons of testing and trial. And when you go through a trial, you need to pray, Holy Ghost, what you teaching me right here? What have you permitted this in my life? I know the enemy's there. I know he'd like me to fail. But I'm telling you, you can leave that very valley. You can leave that wilderness of temptation and come on the other side of it full of the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, let it be again in our churches that we move from being complaining and we move from all these little frustrations we allow from this world to say, God, you know exactly where I am. I'm going to acknowledge you in all my ways, and that we can get full and stay full of the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, help us. I feel the Holy Ghost here. We used to say it like this, that it's being sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Having a sensitivity to the presence of God. You ever felt that season of life you felt just very sensitive to Him? Man, I could share examples with you in my life. And again, I'm not just up here wanting to just ramble on about personal experiences, but you know, I know what it is, and again, the Lord's allowed it, and He's called me to this. He's called me to be a Pentecostal preacher. And I believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is to stay fresh in your life. How many believes that salvation ought to be a fresh thing in your life? But boy, I tell you right now, sometimes I've seen it happen time and time again in our Pentecostal churches. Somebody will point back to a day they got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and that's about all the reference they have to it. All right now. Well, I know it happened back then, but what is he doing right now? And I've learned this. Anytime I get through and really pray through into the Holy Ghost, and then he just fills me up fresh and anew, there's something fresh with it that comes. I'm not trying to sound strange or anything, but I've had him fill me up fresh and anew, and I felt a fresh tongues come upon me, if you would. And a fresh utterance come upon me, if you would. And it was different than what I spoke before. And I knew it was a fresh river flowing out of me. And God was working something in me. And there's times I've been right here in this sanctuary so laden down with care. And I would pray through in these altars. And I would sit here and the Lord would move through me and over me. And I knew it was a fresh fountain flowing. And the Holy Ghost was doing something in my life. He was empowering me for a moment. He was convicting me of some things. Why? He wants me to be full of His power. But that's not just for the preacher. That's for the pew as well. He wants all of us to be as such. He wants us to be sensitive. You know, the sensitivity to the Holy Ghost can have a lot to do with how this church is going to operate. You know, you ever been in the services, obey the Lord. Again, that's not just saying, look, everybody just have their own sermon and song and testimony. Again, you know, really, I know things can get chaotic. But no, but there is a way for it to operate, right? I believe God wants others to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe He wants our children to grow up being used in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. And I remember, and I've shared this before maybe here, you know, I remember growing up in church and there was people being used in the gifts of the Spirit. And I thought that was for the spiritual elite. And I thought you had to be saved a certain amount of years for God could use you, you know? I said, man, you got to be saved 20 years for God to use your message in tongues. Well, I got to read there in the book of Corinthians. He tells me that I need to seek after these things. I said, Lord, I'm going to get to fasting for this. I'll never forget it. I was actually, before I was married, I believe, at Bethel Church, Brother Donald Hare. And I felt, in prayer and fasting that week, was seeking the face of God. I felt something stirring in me. And I almost felt, I said, Lord, are you wanting to use me to give a message in tongues? And boy, I got to crying. And I felt an unction. And boy, I felt the river flow. I felt like a river was flowing out of me. And the Lord's used me in that. And again, I believe you learn through the gifts of the Spirit, you learn to yield yourself. And again, I believe the initial baptism of the Holy Ghost is the initial yielding of your life to the power of the Holy Ghost. But that's not the only place that God wants you to yield yourself to His Spirit. He wants you to yield yourself every service. And as you yield yourself, He'll use you in a gift here and a gift there and something here and a word of encouragement. God will use you if you will let Him. Years ago, we were in a revival service, and the minister was preaching about getting keys, the keys to victory over your enemy. I felt the Lord touch my heart and said, I want you to shake them keys around in your pocket, Brother Derek. And he didn't say, Brother Derek, but you understand what I'm saying? Derek? I said, I ain't going to shake no keys in this service. I said, that sounds crazy. And I went just like this, and if it wakes you up, good. Don't seem like very much right now. But I said, Lord, do it. I got them keys out and I started shaking them. I said, I've got the victory. I'll never forget as God began to bless. Was it something that you did special, Brother Derek? No, I just obeyed the Lord in those moments. I'm not talking about nothing strange and out of order, but in that moment as it went with the sermon, it was a confirmation. It's called being sensitive to the Holy Ghost, and we need it once again.
Yes, amen.
We're more sensitive to the flesh than we are the Holy Ghost sometimes. Hence is why some of us may not have been in obedience as we should, and we don't feel the fulfillment. Some of you, I'm obeying the Holy Ghost here tonight. I know I am. Some of you are living a life that you don't feel that sense of fulfillment you need in your life. And I'm not talking about some liberal mess, but some of you are wanting to feel something more in your walk with God, and it may be this right now. You have not allowed God to fill you up and sustain you, and you don't have a sensitivity to the Holy Ghost. You care more about the flesh and worldly things more than you do godly things. And again, you can't do the will of God and not be sensitive to the inner workings of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Boy, yeah, we got several elders in this room. You know what Abundant Life Tabernacle needs? Every elder saint to be filled and full of the Holy Ghost. Do you know how valuable it is to have saints in a church that have lived this for years, full of the Holy Ghost? I cannot tell you the value of just one elder saint in the church that's able to pat somebody on the back and say, it's worked for 60 years, sweetie. It's going to work for you too. And pat them on the back and say, that Holy Ghost is for you. We need it among the elder saints. We need it among the teenagers. Let the older and the younger dream together. Let the old man have their visions. Let the young dream their dreams. But God, pour your Spirit out on Abundant Life Tabernacle and let us experience the will of God, not only for an individual. How many knows God's got a will for this church?
Yes, amen.
He's got a will for this church. It ain't the will of God for us not to see His divine presence manifested. Praise the Lord. I know I'm going on and on, but I just feel the Lord here. I feel the Lord wanting to stir us up. God's wanting to stir the coals of some of your hearts. Some of you, and I'm just obeying the Lord, you get down to pray, and boy, it's a dry place. You get down to pray, and you say, Lord, I know I'm supposed to be here, Lord, and I'm doing this in obedience. But I can tell you right now, it's more than just doing this as just some dry obedience to dry obedience. God's wanting to set your heart on fire. Every minister in this room, He wants you to have a fiery ministry. Every deacon in this room, He wants you to have fiery service. Every man and woman in this room, He wants you to be in His will. He wants you to be zealous about good works. Your life is more than just going to work and coming home and dozing off in the recliner to the next church service. He wants you to be engaged and full in His presence. He wants you to be excited about the church. He wants you to be excited about visitation. He wants you to be excited about the phone call. He wants you to be excited about the sermon and the altar call and the song service. He don't want you to be full of anything else but His presence.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah. That early church was full of the Spirit. Boy, how many of those apostles were full? That 120. But they were looking for deacons to wait the tables, and they said, let's find some men full of the Spirit. Isn't that something? How powerful would it be? And what's the value of a Holy Ghost-filled saint walking into somebody's house and somebody can't come to church? And look, I'm just going to be honest with you. I know as the pastor, and I, Lord, help us to do more. And I feel like, Lord, I feel like sometimes I'm burning the candle at both ends. And I said, Lord, but I still want to do more. I feel like I could do more. But I'll tell you, there's been times when I'll go to visit somebody. And I'm due to visit some here very soon. But when I walk through that door, my prayer is this: God, let them see something different about me. Don't let me just chat about what they've heard on the news all week. Don't let me chat about what their backslidden children have been talking about. But let me go there with a fire upon me. Let me go there with something anointing upon me. And I believe from the preacher to the deacon to the Sunday school teacher to the song leader to everybody in this room to every tithe payer, every church member, everyone that's working their job, let there be a holy fragrance upon you, that you're walking in step with God and doing His will. Let them see that you've been with Jesus.
Oh, yes.
We read all through the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, Philip there, the Spirit moves on him and says, look, go get in that chariot with that man. He's reading something you need to talk to him about. Isn't that something? Here Philip is, and had a revival. He's walking along and sees that chariot. And the Spirit says something like this: Philip, run, boy, right there in that chariot, go. And he goes over there and he hops in that chariot and he talks to that man. And that man said, I was just reading right here and I had a question. Boy, how many knows the Holy Ghost has got good timing?
Yes.
Old Peter there, obeying the Lord through that vision, he's praying on the house and says, look, there's some guys going to be knocking on that door. I want you to go, I want you to tell them. He goes in obedience and the Spirit of God falls while he is yet speaking. Acts chapter 13, the leaders in the church of Antioch is recognizing the witness of the Spirit and confirming the call of Saul and Barnabas. Church, hear me. Abundant Life Tabernacle is more than a minister. I want you to hear this preacher. It's more than Glenn Jones. It's more than Derek Jones. There can be a collective witness of the Spirit among you that is able to unction and send forth people in His power and for His glory. The Spirit of God may move on this congregation to send out missionaries and preachers. What are you saying, Brother Derek? It's more than just a man. It's us. God has a will for every individual in this room, but He also has a will for this church. And everybody must be sensitive to the will of God in your life and the will of God of this church. Right? I'll go and tell you, the will of God of Abundant Life Tabernacle is going to be, we are a Pentecostal church that believes in morality and holiness and truth and the teaching of God's Word. I know that's the will of God. God has blessed this church because of that. You've seen it time and time again. That's not going to change. If it does change, we'll watch the presence of God leave us be and allow us go down our own roads of deception and compromise. I've watched church after church after church after church do the same. And today they are nothing but talent. They are nothing but singing. But you listen to the preaching and I'm telling you, it lacks unction. It lacks authority. It lacks the gifts of the Spirit. And when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, it's out complete chaos. Chaos trying to make something happen. We're not looking for that to happen. We want God's perfect will to be done in this church. I mean, wants that. I feel, stand to your feet. I feel the Lord here. I want God to confirm this to you. Yes, Lord. The Spirit of God desires to guide each one of us in this room. I believe it, Pastor Glenn. I believe it. He's wanting to guide His church. And you know what we need to do? We need to bow down to Him and say, Lord, would You lead us? God, we're not much. God, we're not much, Lord, but You are everything. How many wants to surrender their all to Him? How many wants God to do a work in your life? Can you lift your hands to heaven right now and say, Lord, will You work Your will in my life?
Oh, will You do it for us, Lord? God, would You do it for this church, dear Lord? Would You do it for our children and grandchildren, dear Lord? Work Your will in our lives. God, I pray for every minister here, Lord. Touch them. God, I pray for the deacons of this church, God. The servants, God, who labors hard, God. I know it loves this church. It loves this body. God, I want you to touch them in their lives right now. The Sunday school teachers, Lord. Those, God, who are just faithful, God. And God, let it make us lesser or greater. But those, God, who are so supportive. Would you touch our marriages? Would you touch us as parents? We want to do your will, God. We want to do your will. Would you lead Abundant Life Tabernacle, God, into the future for your glory? It's bigger than a Brother Glenn and a Brother Derek. Lord, it's bigger than a Brother Shane or a Brother Matthew. It's bigger, God. It's about your glory, Lord. It's about your glory. Lord, we would that you'd help us. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I feel that He just wants us to just yield ourselves to Him. That surrender I talked about this morning, would you do it? Would you do it? Just Lord, take my life. God, I acknowledge you in all my ways. Would you guide my steps? God, for those who are maybe, Lord, in a different season of life, we've got some young, some that are older. God, lead us all into your presence and for your glory. For your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let the inner witness of the Spirit be real. Ooh, let it be real. Leading God, every individual by your presence, Lord. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be, dear Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Marimo mossi tara de liviando mo mo bacata romo mascia tarino da mossi ande mo chi ratta era da da mo cotai re me ne sito rotoia. Oh, you ask of me for my wind to blow, the wind of my spirit to propel you, but I say unto you, you must first learn to set yourselves so that I would direct you in the way that you must go. Learn to be sensitive to my voice. Hear me when I speak. Follow when I call. And know this, I will lead you in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. I say unto you that I see the path that is ahead and I know all things. And as I propel you into this next season, set your sails so that you may know me. And I will direct you, and as my spirit leads, that you will follow and be obedient. Surely I say unto you, I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you. I have a desired end and a purpose for you. Will you listen? Will you obey? Will you be propelled? Will you go forth in the unction of the Spirit? Know this, I have made the provision. It is your responsibility to take a hold to what I have said and to trust me and to live in the power of my spirit, saith the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can we lift our hands towards heaven and thank God for the confirmation of His word? Oh, Lord, help us set our sails. The Lord knows why He's dealing such tonight. He knows what we need. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. Lord, help us, Lord. Help us, God. Thank you, Jesus.